What was your personal, it's talking highlights now, what was your personal highlight of the day?
Besides our set?
Yeah.
It's rich, it's alive, it's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
Fame, fortune, platinum records. It's every boy's dream.
Every one of my records means something. The producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Hey there, everybody. It's Chris.
And Eric.
We're here together. We're
cut by cut.
Yeah, nailed it.
And we're going to do it.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Laverne and Shirley.
Little.
And I totally stepped on it. This was going to be your big introduction.
You know, folks, write me letters. He can't let me just have a thing.
I can't. Nothing beautiful can stay.
You're the daddy. I'm the child.
Okay.
Kinky? What? We just got kinky here on Cut by Cut.
This is Cut by Cut after dark.
So we're here today
yep.
to talk about side B. Sorry, we're talking LPs yep. here. Side B, track two, Skulls.
Yes.
We've all got them.
We all need them.
Under the flesh.
Everybody got them.
That
everybody need them.
Yet to be peeled.
Right.
They're all there. Some people want to collect them, apparently.
Yeah, and Danzig is one of them, and he wrote an entire song about it.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it. Here it goes.
All right. Hey, so I'm going to start off with a question. You ready?
Ready.
You're familiar with Sin City from Frank Miller?
Yes.
Okay.
Very, very much so.
All right. You know the serial killer who kills all the prostitutes and hangs their heads on the walls?
I do.
Do you think Frank Miller drew from this song for that moment? Was that like a clever hidden allusion that nobody's picked up on yet but me?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that you're the only one.
I am the only one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I've never made the connection.
Uh-huh.
That is not to say I'm some genius that should have made the connection.
I say you're a genius and you should have made the connection.
Okay. So I failed you?
Yeah.
Okay. I never made that connection. I don't know a way of not. I consider a severed head.
Yeah.
Still containing flesh and hair.
So it's not a skull until all the skin and blork has been pulled off and
I
gutted out.
I feel like he's saying, I'm going to, like he says it in the song, I'm a demon. I'm going to peel the skin off your face.
Right, and, right.
Because he doesn't want the skin or the muscle.
Or no, he just wants the skull.
Or the fatty connective tissues.
Right.
He just wants the skull.
Because that also always brings me to that moment in Predator. Where the predator is polishing the skull
yeah.
and getting that nice, like, waxy patina to yeah. it all. Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of like, well, I'll just put this over here now.
Throw it in the mud.
Yeah. Roll it around a bit.
Attach it to his, make like a kneecap cover out of it.
Right, right.
I don't, a cod piece?
Yeah. Oh my God. That would be, I think this year for Halloween, I'm going to make a predator outfit with a skull cod piece. You know, but you know, it's funny. Actually, you're not that far off. Because what's Danzig's big belt buckle?
It's the
giant, like,
the
ram skull thing.
I don't know.
Thing.
I was trying to figure out exactly what kind of livestock it was. But
right.
that thing he invented.
So, yeah. In essence, you just got to the rationale behind him having...
He wishes it was a cod piece. Like
yeah.
A full, like a Guar style.
Oh, you can't tell me that Glenn Danzig would wear a codpiece if he could get away with it.
No argument here.
Yeah, yeah. I would probably wear a codpiece if I could get away with it.
I don't know that he's never done it.
Right?
I've only seen him live a couple times.
What a weird fashion choice.
Which? The mesh shirts?
Well, yeah, but a codpiece in general is just a weird-ass fashion choice.
Well, I think at one point they had a utilitarian purpose.
Probably.
Like protecting
cod?
Protecting genitalia from, you know, bronze age
weaponry. Well, I actually
want to...
I believe they were actually made out of fish. Like, it was actually, like, some... I'm going to have to look this up and get back to the lovely folks at home.
The origin of the name cod.
Yeah, that's... We've
trampled,
you want that podcast? That's something totally different.
We've treaded far off of the path we had laid out for the beginning of this episode.
No, that is definitely, definitely true. I got a whole bunch of skull facts.
Yeah, I had some too. We'll
All
probably
right.
have some overlap.
You want to drop a skull fact first?
How many bones in the human skull without looking at your notes?
I don't have that one, so I'm looking at my notes helplessly. 37.
Close, not really.
68.
22.
That's what I meant.
True or false?
I've heard it both ways.
The teeth count in that count.
No, of course not. They're okay. Teeth.
Well,
no, teeth aren't bones.
I'm just trying to lay some facts on y'all.
Yeah, because there's no the teeth bone connected to the lower jaw bone.
I can't say. They talk about the 22 bones in the skull. What are they connected to?
What are they connected to?
Well, I'm just each other.
Oh, okay. What movie is that? What movie is that where like the zombie or the creature, is it Night of the Living Dead, Return of the Living Dead, where like it's like whoa and the creature's like eyes pop out and the skull cap shoots up?
I have to imagine that's the one. I don't have the particular scene in my head, but yeah.
Yeah, is that movie? I feel like that's
If you pause, I can run and find out.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not that interested, honestly. And I'm sure people at home are like, no, you moron, it's this.
Based on your loose description, I was thinking of the large Marge scene in Pee-wee Herman's Big Adventure.
Very close to that, I think, is what I'm getting at. I feel like what I'm describing in my mind is comedy. A comedity.
A comedity?
Yeah, comedity. It's a lesser-known form of comedy where you generally poke at things that have no relation to anything else.
Is that a you get there. Maybe it's a community of comedians?
Oh, yeah, a community of comedians. all right, well, here you go. You ready for this noise?
Do it.
Here's mine. The Scythians, Iranian-Eurasian nomads, killed, according to Herodotus's histories, right, in Greek literature, they made skulls into drinking cups.
Oh.
So the Norse have, when they cheer, right, instead of saying cheers, they say skull.
Okay.
Skull is also a cheer, a drink from the skull of an enemy, but it also means bald head. So okay. A skull is technically a bald head. And what's under it is the skull.
Any relation to the chewing tobacco?
Not that I could find, and I don't think so. So that's one of the many skull facts that I have. The exciting, momentous skull facts. What do you have next? Trade one off.
I don't know, well, your cat is opening doors and meowing now. That's just a good time.
Which is messed up because she's totally blind. So where she's going, I have no idea. And quite frankly, we're rolling. So she's on her own.
The human skull has tons of small holes in it, besides your eye holes and smell holes.
For storing notes.
And cake hole. Not the obvious cake hole, nose hole, eye hole.
Right.
Ear hole.
Right.
There are other holes kind of miscellaneously.
You call it a cake hole, you don't call it a speak hole?
Whatever. Yeah. Besides the obvious.
Yeah. There's holes. The eye holes, the nose hole, the ear holes, the glory holes.
What is the primary function of those small holes in your skull?
So that if you hold your breath and blow out like this, it whistles. That's
close.
Yeah, it's the head is one big ocarina.
It's just so blood vessels can make it to the things behind the skull and in front of the skull.
Interesting. Okay. So it's like little shortcuts for blood vessels.
Yeah.
All right. So when you bust a blood vessel, you
can. Yeah, I mean, I imagine it, if it's possible.
Do you know where Jesus was crucified?
No.
Yeah, on Golgotha. Or the place of the skull.
Oh, okay.
Or
I didn't know that was that's a way. Wow.
Yeah. What was the worst Indiana Jones movie?
The worst?
Yeah.
The Curse of the Crystal Skull.
Most revered film of all time.
What do you mean revered?
I don't know. I did not mean revered.
That's the one that had magnetic gun, like a magnetic sentient cloud of gunpowder traversing through a alleyway of.
Did it?
Yeah, the beginning of that one.
That's the one that also has him hiding, very famously hiding in a refrigerator.
Yeah.
At the time of a nuclear detonation.
See, I can look past that. That has a
No, I'm okay with that. That's fitting in relatively the rest of the Indiana Jones films. What's not is Monkey Knife Fight, where the monkeys are like saving him and like making monkey chains.
When his bastard son is swinging through the vines the same speed that they're traveling on jeeps.
Because that's vines are notoriously miles and miles long, but all just wrapped around the top of the tree. Do you know, I'm quickly running out of facts here, okay?
Yeah.
Lord Byron, the English poet.
Okay. I think I've heard of him.
Drank. I like Danzig thinks he's all tough by wearing like, you know, tank top t-shirts and mesh. Lord Byron, a poet, right? A ponce, drank from a skull that was found by his gardener. And he turned it into a drinking goblet.
Chalice?
Yeah. So his gardener's like, "Oi, Lord Byron, look what I found." He's like, "Clean that out, Jeffries. I'm going to be drinking out of that tonight." And he wrote lines inscribed upon a cup formed from a skull. Catchy title.
Yeah.
Skull's much better. So Danzig has one up on Lord Byron there. But he filled it with claret, which is a red wine from Bordeaux. This is going somewhere. You ready?
I'm ready.
It's a red wine from Bordeaux and passed around in imitation. And he would pass this thing in imitation of the Goths of the old, who had a thing called the Order of the Skull.
Oh.
So, like, Lord Byron, back in Lord Byron times.
Is that an actual, like, era?
It is. It's like 1870, Lord Byron times, Lincoln gets shot, World War II. Oppenheimer says, "I've become death,"
happened.
And then a bunch of other crap. Women get the right to vote somewhere.
Trump becomes president.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the history of the world in 20 minutes. But anyway, it was the Order of the Skull. And so Lord Byron had this whole big thing. So Lord Byron is like one of the earliest Goths. Like, he's imitating the original Goths, which I think is kind of cool.
Shakespeare had a purpose for the skull in certain plays, right?
Well, that was in Hamlet. Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, that was Yorick's skull.
Yes.
Which is, there's a moment where Hamlet returns to Denmark. There's a gravedigger who is, because of the plague, they just buried bodies on top of bodies. They really believe that once you were dead, that was pretty much it. They just threw you in the ground and you decomposed. And then they would dig you out, your bones and stuff like that, your skulls, and they would put you in mausoleums or charnel houses. Hamlet stumbles upon this grave digger who is digging a grave. Spoiler alert for Ophelia. Right. And
I haven't read that one yet, damn it.
A skull comes flying out and he picks it up. And he has this, "Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him," right. Horatio.
Yep.
I can go on. I know most of it. And it becomes the symbol for memento mori,
okay.
Looking into something that is dead, looking into...
That's where I was going with that.
Yeah.
The whole...
So you want to talk about memento mori then?
I you're the professor on this. I just simply knew it was something.
Yeah, yeah. It's to... Here's the 20-second, really thin, glossed over version of memento mori.
I always summed it up as just remembering that you're human.
Yeah.
Right. Or mortal.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, I mean, plagues were ravaging London, right? They'd come out of a huge plague moment. Plagues would flare up in London, kill a whole bunch of people, and then literally just vanish, right?
Mm.
So it was that in a time when you could die very easily and you would die very young, to take a moment and consider what your place in the world is. What have you brought to the world?
It's deep.
It really is. And it was supposed to keep people sort of pushing forward. I mean, the British have this wonderful, obviously, the keep calm, carry on thing. But
always look on the bright side.
Right, right. It's as amazingly like cheery in the face of disaster. Like, the Germans are bombing us again. What do? Have another cup of tea. You know, like, roll a fag. I don't know, like, whatever they wanted to do. But it was, I think it was...
I'm thinking of the Mary Poppins scene where they're about to fire the cannon and everyone's just bracing the house for, like, the things that are going to crash over. And
can I tell you my confession?
What's that?
Never seen Mary Poppins.
Oh, no.
I have never, ever, ever seen Mary Poppins.
If I really cared, I'd sit down with you and make you watch it, but I...
Yeah. I mean, I know enough of it culturally. Like, I'm not stupid. Like,
I can't believe that.
Yeah, but I've never actually seen... I've never seen also Wizard of Oz beginning to end. I have no idea how Dorothy gets home. Quite honestly. She claps her feet and they don't doesn't work, right?
Sorry.
And then... Have you seen it? You haven't seen it either, you lying sack of crap. You're sitting there in judgment and you haven't seen this movie.
I'm trying, I guess... Not to
you have oh my god,
no, I have seen it.
Yeah, totally.
What I'm having trouble remembering is
how she gets
if
home.
There is a how, or if it was just a dream.
Does she just, I mean,
I honestly don't remember that exact mechanic,
yeah.
But
so let's get back to Danzig being a demon and peeling faces.
We never really got there in the first place,
yeah. No, we haven't
we
at all.
We ran into faces about. Facts about faces and skulls.
I'll tell you what, we should probably start the show. You want to start the show?
Hey, everybody. This is Stuff I Cut.
And I'm Eric.
I'm Chris.
And we're bringing you this week, episode 9, Skulls.
I'm going to have you everyone know here. I'm probably spoiling this, and I'm going to embarrass Eric a little. We've already recorded this half of this episode once before. Somebody
Yeah,
forgot who's that? To hit the record button.
I was so excited about this episode that I just completely negated turning it on. Yeah.
I would take ownership of it, except the electronics are yours.
So, do you want to hear a funny story?
Did we already do this?
You want to? I was in a band a long time ago. And I was the not good part of a reasonably good band, only because I don't want to say we sucked, because Chris didn't suck. I sucked.
I don't think either of you sucked. I thought it was quite a nice combo.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Moral of the story is, this was our big closer, was a countrified version.
A what now?
A countrified version of Skulls. And I don't know what possessed us to try to do it with like a country twang.
Outlaw punk, outlaw country punk. Hybrid.
Yeah, a hybrid moment. Ooh, and nice one. We finished playing a show, and I was so nervous about playing that when I got off stage, I cracked open a Dogfish 90 Minute, which is like a super hoppy, drunky, high alcohol content IPA, and I wolfed it down. And then I had a second one equally as fast. And so the room was spinning. There were like four Chris's in our two-man band. There were suddenly like five of us. I was outnumbered grossly. The band that we were supporting finished and then called us up on stage to play Skulls with them again. Oh. I was so drunk that I stood up on stage and I could not remember the lyrics.
Nice.
How to play the song. And like
they wanted you to play as well?
Everybody was like staring at us. I sat there for about what felt like 5 minutes. It was awful.
I don't think I was there that night.
I was just like, man,
wow.
I can't. I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't do this. It was every time I've ever had that dream where you get like put on stage, or you're given like, it's like opening night and you're like, I don't know the lines. That was that moment in reality. It would have only been worse if I had pissed myself.
If only you hadn't had the two beers.
I don't regret the beers.
And that,
young they were delicious.
Listeners.
Is why you don't drink. So don't drink and play cover songs.
Yeah, hard to go too deep on it.
Yeah. Is this song unsettle you at all? I mean, because we had fun with the last track, right? We had a good time with Night of the Living Dead. It's a funny, silly, goofy song. Yeah. This one is much more Dahmer-esque. It's much more serious.
Right. Well, anytime, for me, all these songs get real, especially now having children.
Yeah.
So anytime you start... And for me, in general, anytime you start talking about killing specifically, you know, well, women or children.
Right. Or
it hits me right in the I'm uncomfortable. Now, that's my uncomfort zone, you know.
Right. Or the line, collect the heads of little girls.
Yeah, exactly.
And hang them on, hack the heads off little girls. Yeah. Yeah, which is.
Like if he would have changed that, like hack the head off.
Lots of squirrels.
Everyone. Lots of squirrels. You know,
collect the heads of little squirrels and put them on my wall.
Well, they say, so that would be creepy because experts who study like serial killers.
Yeah, you start with animals,
They start with animals and the curiosity starts there, right? So, and that's a common trope in any kind.
It's actually, they start with granimals. This song has always, I've always been in love with it. It's a great It's a fantastic song, but it's one of those songs that the moment you start sort of holding the magnifying glass to it and looking at what he's saying, it becomes really dangerous.
Yeah, well, it's right up there again with like Last Caress and...
Oh, yeah.
I'm escaping the other one I wanted to bring up, but just anytime you start you're making the violence intimate.
Yeah.
In a way that is just uncomfortable.
But there's a nice transition here. Between the goofy, campy, then we get to the same level of violence, right? We're still talking about ripping off skin and eating people or hanging up their heads and trophies and stuff like that. And what do we get for the third song on this side is Violent World.
Yeah.
And there's almost, and we'll get to it when we cover Violent World, but it's almost like an admission of how over the top Skulls is. So do you have anything else? Do you want to say anything else about?
Not particularly. It's my favorite. Probably of all of them, it's the go-to Misfits song for me.
Yeah.
This is the one that just comes to mind. If I had to name a Misfits song, Skulls.
Yeah, it's the one that comes to your skull meat. Let's jump right into our favorite segment.
Now, these are sounds of different things that other people have recorded.
This is the quintessential cover.
Makes you fall in love with the song.
Yeah. Pre-irony. So this is Evan Dando, early 90s?
Yeah.
Early 90s, because I took this to college with me. So there is no irony here. This is a love song to that song, to Skulls. It's something that I keep going back to, but there is a strength of songwriting where you can take a song that is as crazy, over-the-top, violent as Skulls, strip it down to a singer-songwriter piece, and really have it almost... You could make out to this song.
Yeah,
you could close prom
trying to figure
with
out
this
if
version
I ever...
of Skulls. Like, we've only got one track left. Ladies, yeah. I want you to find somebody to settle down with and... Yeah.
Grab that special partner. Tell them what you mean.
Little Timmy Callahan, your mother is waiting in the parking lot. Timmy Callahan, your mother is waiting in the parking lot. Sandy Miss High forever. So you have some other mix. This has got really sad all of a sudden. So you've got
just a great. That is a great cover.
It's fantastic. It's inarguably amazing.
So I'm gonna flip the script a little.
Yeah.
I seem to be my
script
MO,
that flipped.
My MO seems to be bringing the metal covers.
Yeah.
So we've got one by the Epic Trivium.
Oh yes. Yeah.
So for you. Kind of
I haven't previewed this yet, so if we get a tiny ad before it, which we are, hold on a second.
Anytime.
Yeah, listen anywhere, anytime. I refused it. All right, here we go. Oh, that's nice.
So these guys are, again, this is like late 90s. A little bit of that metal hardcore crossover.
Yeah.
They've got the singing. And you're going to hear the screaming come in.
That drum is nice.
So this actually goes right into a We Are 138 cover as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that's
again,
pretty
crisp,
solid.
Solid production. Just a nice, like...
A nice place to visit, and you'd want to rock there.
You know, if you're into... I was never a huge Trivium fan, but I respect their craft.
Sure.
Progressive, heavy metal.
Hey, I have a quick question. You sent me a file here that just says Skulls ukulele cover, great voice.
So this young lady is playing...
Do we know who this is?
I have no idea. It's a YouTube quote. I saw no credit other than...
Oh, man, that sucks.
Username?
What was the username? Do you know?
Click on the link, my friend.
I did click on the link. It just says Skulls Misfits Ukulele Cover. All right, so we're going to play a Skulls Misfits Ukulele Cover. This is your choice for cover of the week.
Great voice. She goofs up on the ukulele a bit, but it's the voice that I love.
But that's endearing, man.
It's candid.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. All right, here we go. You can't see it, obviously, because this isn't a visual medium, but she does, like, right before she gets to the chorus, she does this huge eye roll. Like, all right, I'm about to say this 9 times.
I love her voice. I would fall. This song could put me to sleep.
Yeah, no, this is almost lullaby-esque.
Sweet, pleasant dreams about the devil's reign.
Right. Oh, the macabre, the sexy, beautiful macabre, bruh. All right. We're in it for almost half an hour now.
Yeah.
As we're running a little long. Your quick rating of Skulls?
10 out of 10, baby. Yeah. It's my favorite.
Yep. I this is a solid 10. This is about as perfect as a Misfits song gets.
The fact that you can make it creepy, make it a lullaby.
Yeah.
And have it be equally as good in either kind of end of the spectrum.
Yeah, and I wish I knew who was playing this ukulele version, because I think this is easily almost better. It's so different from the Lemonheads in that it maintains its integrity. Thank God we didn't happen to have a track of us playing it, because it's just horrible. It's not worth.
Again, email me, cupbycuppodcast@gmail.com. I can make it happen.
Don't make it happen. Hey, folks, we didn't mention this last time, but if you want to follow us on Instagram, we're at cupbycuppodcast, where we post pictures and behind the scenes videos and all kinds of sassy things. We have stickers coming, or we have stickers.
They're in the mail.
Okay. So if you leave us a four or five star review on iTunes, the iTunes reviews are very important. So if you leave us a review, 4 or 5 stars, and then screen cap it and send it to cutxcutpodcast@gmail.com. We'll send you some stickers. Hey, that's bribery. You goddamn right it is.
Get unashamed.
Yeah. And I do it again.
We want your ratings.
We want your ratings. Instagram, Facebook. We're up on Facebook at Cut by Cut Podcast. We're on all of the social medias. I don't Twitter because
we're not.
And I'm not clever enough.
We're
really.
Not on that. We're not on that end of the spectrum.
Yeah. No. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, folks.
For
good times. What is next time?
Violent World.
Who are you? What are we here to do?